जया राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिर वरधारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिर वरधारी यशोदा नंदन प्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जामुन थीर वन छरिया जामुन थीर वन छरिया हो जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारिया जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारिया गोपी जन वल्लभ गिर वरधारिया गोपी जन वल्लभ गिर वरधारिया यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना थीरा वन छरी जामुना थीरा वन छरी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारिया जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारिया जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारिया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ஓம் அஜ்ஞானத்து மிருந்தஸ்ய ஜ்ஞானஞ்சன சலகய சக்ஷுருன்மிலிதம் யேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குரவே நமஹ. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Today we're looking at Canto 3 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's Chapter 13 entitled The Appearance of Lord Varaha. And it's text 45. Hare Krishna. Sabai bata brashta matista vaisate. Yakarmanang parang aparap karmanaha. Param. Yad yoga maya guna yoga mohitang Vishvang samastang bhagavan videhi sam. Savai bata brashta matista vaisate. Karmanang param apara karmana. Yoga maya guna yoga hitang. Vishvang samastang bhagavan videhi sam. Savai bata brashta matista vaisate. Yakarmanang param apara karmanaha. Yoga maya guna yoga mohitang. Vishvam samastang bhagavan videhi sham. Savai bata brashta matista vaisate. Yakarmanang param apara karmanaha. Yoga maya guna yoga mohitam. Vishwam samastam bhagavan vidhi vaishnavis. Hare Krishna. Savaya. Prashta matista vaishyate. Yakarmanang param apara karmanaha. Yad yoga maya guna yoga mohitam. Vishvam samastam bhagavan videhi sam. Savai bata brashta matista vaisate. Yakarmanang param apara karmanaha. Yad yoga maya guna yoga mohitang. Vishvang samastang bhagavan videhi sam.
One more person.
Savai bata brashta matista vaisate. Karmanang param apara karmanaha. Yoga maya guna yoga mohitam. Vishwang samastam bhagavan videhi sam. Savai bata brashta matista vaisate. Amarang param apara karmanaha. Yoga maya yoga mohitam. Vishvam Samastam Bhagavan Videhisha. Jai Haribol. Saha. He. Vai. Certainly. Bhata. Alas. Prashtamatihi. Nonsense. Tava. Your. Ishate. Desires. Yaha. One who. Karmanam. Of activities. Param. Limit. Aparakarmanaha. One who has unlimited activities. Yet. By whom? Yoga. Mystic power. Maya. Potency. Guna. Modes of material nature. Yoga. Mystic power. Mohitam. Bewildered. Vishvam. The universe. Samastam. In total. Bhagavan. O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Videhi. Just be pleased to bestow. Sham. Good fortune. Translation, O Lord, there is no limit to your wonderful activities. Anyone who desires to know the limit of your activities is certainly nonsensical. Everyone in this world is conditioned by the powerful mystic potencies. Please bestow your causeless mercy upon these conditioned souls. Please repeat, O Lord, there is no limit to your wonderful activities. Anyone who desires to know the limit of your activities is certainly nonsensical. Everyone in this world is conditioned by the powerful mystic potencies. Please bestow your causeless mercy upon these conditioned souls. And purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Mental speculators who want to understand the limit of the unlimited are certainly nonsensical. Every one of them is captivated by the external potencies of the Lord. The best thing for them is to surrender unto Him, knowing Him to be inconceivable, for thus they can receive His causeless mercy. This prayer was offered by the inhabitants of the higher planetary systems, namely the Janatapas and Satyalokas, who are far more intelligent and powerful than humans. Vishvang Samastitang is very significant here. There are the material world and the spiritual world. The sages pray, both worlds are bewildered by your different energies. Those who are in the spiritual world are absorbed in your loving service, forgetting themselves and you also. And those in the material world are absorbed in material sense gratification, and therefore also forget you. No one can know you because you are unlimited. It is best not to try to know you by unnecessary mental speculation. Rather, kindly bless us so that we can worship you with causeless devotional service. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Bol. Namo Shivaya Krishna Pushtaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pricharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacari Shatarini. Hare Krishna. So here we have it. There's a few people out there in other higher planetary systems who have something to say, and they have just said it, okay? And what they have been talking about is a glorification of the Supreme. The Supreme in the form of a boar avatar, and they are compelled to do this just out of sheer... realization. They realize somebody's bigger than them and there's dependency on him. That is for Ahadev. And I think one of the themes here to, you know, pull out of this verse is about limitations. Well, there are no limitations for the Lord. And if he is Yogeshwara, as expressed in the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that means that there's no boundaries whatsoever. He can come at any shape or form that he so pleases. And so here he has decided to come in the form of a massive, majestic, and beautiful boar incarnation. And he wields his power in the form of hooves, mass, strength, tusks, powerful nostrils, and he's just showing his might, and it's appreciated. You know, I always thought it was very nice to look at people that, like, just in terms of walking or driving by a place of worship, I always have, you know, reverence inside of me. The thing, people come together here, and they express appreciation. They glorify. It's always on a positive note. Usually, now there are some institutions where they do talk about hate and contempt, and that's maybe not the best way to go. You can see that everyone in this world is under some influence, and we are bewildered. Tribhir gunamayair bhavayair ebi sarvam idam jagat. From Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, everyone's influenced by the three energies, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And there's other statements out there. So when we're born here in this world, it just means that there are some deficiencies. You know, we are not perfect, and we should not even try to be. But we can try to follow the perfect, and that's the best you're going to get. Okay, and there will always be some limitations for us, even though it is said that those who understand and appreciate Krishna, who has no influence under the policies of karma, they will also become free from karmic reactions. However, even in a liberated state, souls will never reach the same status as the Supreme Lord, even if you tried real hard. It just doesn't, it's just not going to work, you know. You can try. The best we can do is to, let's say, function in our own constitutional position, and that's just the best we can do. And so there are two kinds of souls that are in this world amongst the Jiva Tattva category. There are those who are conditioned souls. That phrase is used here, conditioned souls, last in the translation. Conditioned souls, that means we have lots of conditions. And then there are constitutional souls. That means those who follow constitution. Now, we use that word constitution. Sounds very formal. It doesn't sound very appealing. It's kind of stale. But it is nevertheless a phrase or a terminology that helps us to understand we're acting in our place. We are where we should be, you know, and that is to function as a servant of the Lord, das, and I'm not boss. And that's the biggest thing, the biggest problem we have. I'm in charge around here. That's the ego flaring up, and ego is just not a good place to be. We want to be where we should be, and that is to just agree to cooperate. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj also explained what bhakti is. One definition of bhakti is to just cooperate with the Supreme. You know, and when we don't cooperate, then there will be consequences. You know, and those consequences, we've heard about it before. It means you go through a recycling program again and again and again until you get it right. Okay, so now that might sound a little bit discouraging, but at least you're going to be in there. There are some people who actually, they'll tell you this. You've got to do it all. You've got to surrender completely to the Supreme. And if you don't do it, you go to where the flames are high and you're going to burn like anything. So just a one-shot deal. That's not very fair. How many people do like that policy? Doesn't sound very good. I remember I was with one God brother. We were in the province of Alberta, and we had some car trouble. I was on the walk, but still, while walking, you're dependent on an automobile and a friend, an amigo to help you. So anyways, we had some trouble. And the fellow who was running the mechanical shop, he was a little bit one of those kind of, what shall I say, fundamentalists, you know? And so myself and Garuda Vahan was his name. We were sitting sort of at the one side of the, on the other side of the counter. And, you know, just a couple of chairs were there, so we sat there. And we were waiting to get our vehicle worked on. So he just leans over the counter like this. So, you guys, I guess your destination is you're going to go to where it's hot. And there was a lady who had come in just prior to that, and she goes, oh, stop that. You know, stop that. And she was... So obviously he was trying to give us a hard time to some degree. Mind you, he did a good job with the mechanics of the car, but he didn't score very well with how he was treating us, you know. But we don't take it so seriously. Devotees should never take things that seriously, right? Because if someone tries to harm you, it's to do with the body. And we are not these bodies, so why should we take anything so personally, you know? In fact, we'll say, here, you slap me on this cheek. Oh, take the other one. I wish I had more cheeks. Well, I've got some behind me. If you want to give a couple of kicks there, that's okay too. You know, I'm not this body, and I'm ready to take some more punishment. So the verse, the word that appears quite often here is about limitations. For the Lord, there's no limitations. For us, there's plenty of limitations. And when we kind of get that right, then we're on to something. Then we're going to go somewhere. And it won't necessarily be down there where the flames are high, you know. And, you know, I mean, I don't know why. I guess it's hot down there and it's cold up there. And now it's cold here, right? How many people are feeling a little bit cold here on the intermediary platform? A little bit on the cold side, right? But cold is good, hot is good. Javadis, they see this as sense perception. It's all to do with the body, which is temporary. So we don't take it so seriously, right? Matras Prashastakantaya, Krishna states, chapter 2, one of the first lessons he gives in Bhagavad Gita is just that alone. You know, in fact, the chapter 2 is just a gem of a chapter from the Gita where everything is told, you know, not much more has to be told. Even in chapter 2, we're told, Krishna's telling Arjuna, you know, what to look for in a self-realized soul, you know, what to look for in a person who's perfect, somebody who will just take you to another level. You know, so nothing's amiss in that chapter, frankly. You know? But for further encouragement, other chapters have rolled out. The Lord has decided more lessons are coming, and they just keep coming. Some of them are a little repetitious, but that's okay because we have thick skulls. We are a little bit on the dull side, so therefore things need to be repeated, such as Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Do we get it? No. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram Hari Hari. So there needs to be repetition. I remember when I was just a new devotee, and I was going on the street every day, and I went out with a devotee. He was quite a scholar, Jan Brzezinski, professor, and his name was Hiranyagarbha. Prabhupada gave him that name. So we go out regularly, and he told me, I just met a girl who got a book from me a few weeks ago, and she's been reading one particular book, perhaps it was the Gita. And she said, I like the literature, but things just keep getting repeated. And the point that he was making as a follow-up was that, well, you know, what do we absorb? You know, this is the problem without the age in which we live. There's a lack of clarity. There's a lot of cobwebs that we have to clear out of the way. They're called the three gunas, and you could call them many other things. Maya is one other term. And, you know, there has to be a lot of, you know, cleaning and scrubbing and washing and before things get really, let's say, before they set in really well. And I also recall I was, Orlando, you know, some years ago, and I was at a house program, and a couple came there, yoga teachers, a husband and wife team, and I said, so Swami, you know, what do you, from your perspective, what is it that, what's this yoga thing all about? You know, what's it supposed to do for us? And my answer to that is, well, apart from establishing love, ultimate love, is that we're trying to go for a clearing here. There's a lot of clutter. There's a lot of clutter in the way. I remember we had a fire during a Diwali time, and the pujari, unfortunately, his dhoti caught on fire because they had one of those little tea lamps on the floor by the altar, and it sort of started crawling up on him, and it just rose. It was like a silk dhoti, so it goes up real fast, and 10 days later, that devotee, he died from, you know, burn degrees. Yeah, high burn degrees. He went to the hospital, of course, and it was just very unfortunate that this kind of thing took place. I'm trying to think about why I brought that up. Maybe you can help me. Collectively, clutter. Yeah, we went from clutter to fire. Yeah, so then what happened is that, thank you so much, the fire department naturally had to come in and they looked at our situation, and we weren't so very, the building was not so fire rated, you know, as it wasn't up to the mark, up to the standard. So then we had to work really hard, and just suddenly, you know, we didn't have it in our budget and raise money like anything to make sure there were fire doors and in all the locations of the building. And a lot of adjustments had to be made, you know, just to see that we were more fireproof. Yeah, so precautions are on, part of the routine was to make sure that doors don't get cluttered. So right on cue, she opened the door, which was just perfect. I see there's nothing blocking the doors here. You know, there's exit signs, everything's paka, thanks to the management here. Everything's good. And I think if we go to the kitchen, we'll see the same dynamic. It's clean and there's nothing in the way of the doors, you know. So the point is that we need to make it so that, set ourselves up that we don't have a lot of clutter, especially in the mind. You know, this is where it just seems to get... Yeah, it's an agitating point. It's a destination where the cobwebs tend to go. I think the spiders of material desires want to come in there and clutter. But we have to make sure these areas are clean. There's 9 gates to the body, Nava Dwari Pure Dehi. The body has 9 gates, and we're supposed to make sure they get cleared, and you know, so things can function nicely. You know, when we wake up in the morning, isn't it a fact there's all kinds of stuff all over the place, and especially in this area and other zones of contention, and so you want to clear. You're going to want to go for a clearing, and then this is really a good start. It's actually hard to imagine how some people don't get it. They just some people don't take a bath in the morning. Yuck, isn't it? Yeah, you know, blessings from Srila Prabhupada, he's taught us all these wonderful things, practices, and they've stuck with us. You know, we're bound, you know, to continue on in the process of just keeping clean, you know, keeping hygienic for the externals and also for the internals by chanting again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Some people think we're fanatical because we keep saying the same things over and over again. But they are names of God after all. what more do you, if you don't do that, you'll be saying, look, there's a lot of interesting language out there that gets repeated. Like in one sentence, you'll see some people, they just, you know, wow, every other word is that, you know, word, and it's the four-letter word, which is not Rama. And it's just, you know, just how is it possible, you know? And sometimes you have to scratch your head and you, or your neck. And so can't we be a little more creative or poetical, you know? Where's the lack of, you know, vocabulary, you know? Some documentaries have come out there on the people who are unhoused or homeless folks. And some of them have children, and the kids don't, some of them don't go to school. And the vocabulary level is about like 200 words. There's not much beyond that. Now, maybe that sounds like a big figure, does it? I don't think so. You know, so that's quite sad, a sad note, to note about the way the world is right now. So the more you can be trying to stretch your limitations, the better it is. And perhaps you could also, you know, admit that when you first started reading Srila Prabhupada's books with some of its old imperial British or Victorian kind of classical words, says, wow, what is this? I'm stretching my vocabulary, you know. And it was quite nice, wasn't it? Sometimes when you start talking to your friends and in using the language that we've learned over the years from the books, say, can you speak English, please? You know? Either that or they may surmise that, well, you're an erudite scholar, you know. So thanks to the books that we've been able to stretch a little bit. We've been able to be true yogis. If yoga means to stretch, you know, which is the way some people have surmised that what it is, then we have been able to stretch our view on life. We got to understand that the Lord has no limitations, and he can take any shape or form that he likes. Also, not limited to gender. And so we got those stories that support people who like to change their, you know, organs. We've got stories. Your God does it too, so why can't I? Hare Krishna. Yeah. No limitations for Krishna. And there's also no limitations on what we can do in our, let's say, our ability to reach out to him. The surrendering process is very stretched out. It's very expansive. We're given 9 different processes of devotional service. And in each one of those categories, whether it's, you know, the hearing or the chanting or the remembering, it's just, there is an incredible volume there. There's space like nowhere else. Sometimes when we fly up into the air, like some of us take flights, and the sky is just like, there's no limit, isn't it? So for us, in our surrender to the Lord, there's also no limitations, you know? And you can actually be very innovative and creative in how you want to serve the Lord. In fact, some of the most advanced devotees of the Lord, the gopis, they sometimes have they're a little bit competitive, the right and the left wing gopis, and they're just kind of more or less competing with each other, how much you can do and what you can do and how, let's say, how expansive you can be on that subject. The early days of the Prabhupada Marathon, we call the Christmas Marathon, were any of you part of that, you know, especially in L.A.? Yeah. You were, of course you were, that's right. And now the devotees were just kind of outdoing each other. I think Rameshwar Prabhu talks about how he came in really late and he thought he had the biggest figure in terms of the book distribution. And He came in really late into the temple, and he was wondering where everyone was. I think he had conjectured that, that everyone went to bed already. And so after some time, everyone else came in later after him, said, you know, all in a sort of a party mood, and, you know, very very happy within themselves that they had, distributed so much extra, you know, and they stayed out to the mall, at the malls, meeting people, conditioned souls, and to, you know, until the last, until most of the mall closed and locked up, you know. And he was surprised, but it was that kind of spirit of, you know, healthy competition that devotees realized, hey, I'm not immortal. I have my limitations, but still, they really stretched it out. Many of us who were part of those days, we have our limitations now, like physical limitations. Perhaps in our heart, there's no limitations, you know. If we had another go at it, another shot, a new body to come to, we might just do it all over again. Those were just real fun days, the competition. And, you know, I was explaining to the devotees the other day how we got the down payment for a big church in Canada. And our temple president was on the on a TV show. And they had asked him, so how did you get that building on Avenue Road? Says, well, we sold lollipops. You know, lollipops. It just took lollipops. And devotees even wrote letters, you know, to Prabhupada, ask, is it okay to have lollipops? Can we offer them to Krishna? And he said, yes, you can. They're made of syrup and some water and something sweet, so it can be offered to the Lord. So lollipops, that's how it was done, you know. And somebody had the idea that we can do it because we didn't have any university degrees, you know, we just didn't finish our schooling. We gave it all to surrender to Prabhupada. And so in a very creative way. Perhaps maybe, you know, we used to also sell flowers, right? And when the flowers ran out, we just picked some leaves, you know, and pinned them on people. And then when we ran out, there were no leaves, we just pretended, here, I'm just pinning on something on the guy's lapel, and then, okay, we're just asking for a donation. Oh, really? Okay, all right. Devotees were extremely creative in those days in terms of how to get Krishna consciousness out there. We really believed in it. We believed that this was the solution to all of our problems. We were happy, and so we wanted to share that happiness, that joy. There were no barriers, you know, in that regards. We were happy. I guess what we can do is analyze now, you know, some years later, maybe decades, are you still happy? Okay, maybe physically we can't be so satisfied, but certainly on another level, on the more, let's say, otherworldly level, we can still be happy, you know. For those who are stick to the sadhana and they're very fixed and firm about it, I can say that they would be happy. But I don't know, can you really be happy if you are, you made your commitments to Guru, to Krishna, and we haven't been able to, you know, sort of measure up over time. So maybe we feel guilty about that, and guilt is okay. Guilt is like a component of humility, and humility is the foundation for making spiritual advancement, isn't it? When you feel guilty about something, it means I'm not worthy. And that's a good place to be. It's a good spot to be at, you know. If you can't conjure up that kind of sentiment, then okay, I'm doing all right. You know, maybe there's a little bit of pride in there that needs to be challenged, right? Yeah, so let us look at this a little more clearly, and admit to our limitations. But that doesn't mean our heart can't grow big. You know, we're all kind of like maybe Grinches. You know, the Grinch was not a nice guy. You know, I think when we were just kids, the Grinch who stole Christmas, it was just a new character on the scene in pop culture, you know, for kids. Now he's been around for a few decades now, and he's now part of the culture, you know. almost as popular as Santa Claus himself. Anyways, Hare Krishna. I don't follow it, so I don't know. Yeah. Is that a song? Is that? Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, okay, all right. Yeah, I don't know all the characters. I admit I'm ignorant. Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, I joined in 73, and I stopped watching TV. Yay. Maybe you can be happy if you're not watching TV. You might be happier. And you know, one devotee, one godbrother said to me once, said, "Oh, Maharaj, do you have a computer?" I said, "No, I don't have a computer." You know, in those days I didn't have a cell phone either, but now I do. You know, "Oh, that's why you're so happy, because you don't have a computer." But well, so, yeah, I'm a fairly happy person, and you know, I believe a little bit more in what Krishna's given us, and I like to be outdoors a little bit more, connect with people, and even small talk is okay. That makes me happy. Prabhupada started off with small talk when he spoke to people, you know. There was no limits for him. I remember Rabindra Swarup talking about how Prabhupada was in Philadelphia, and the devotees were, Prabhupada was staying in a house that was sort of semi-detached, and then the person who living on the other side of the building is an older woman, and she'd come down. Sometimes they'd end up at the doorway at the same time. And then Prabhupada was just, you know, very small talking with her. And, you know, at one point, this is what startled Rabindra Swarup, who said, "Well, Prabhupada's a pure devotee of the Lord. He's talking like on such a sort of mundane level, you know." So Prabhupada was talking to this woman, said, "How old are you?" And then she said, "And how old are you?" And said, "Oh, I'm 70, whatever it was at the time, and I still have all my teeth." Yeah, so it's okay. Like, just like you laughed and they laughed, and that's the way, you know, that becomes a springboard, you know, small talk for bigger talk, you know, isn't it? It has to start somewhere, and the real start for success at communicating with people is to speak on their level, you know, be normal, be natural. You know, you don't have to be too transcendental. You know, there's a problem with being too transcendental. You know, have you ever met people who are just too Krishna conscious? You know, I have. If you understand what I'm saying, it's a little bit too much. You know, like, I was on the bus tour with Manaram, some music, and we had somebody on there who was just so too Krishna, KC, you know, too much, you know, like, say, let me breathe a little bit, you know, like, and Prabhupada said, and page blah, 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 and chapter blah, 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 and blah, blah. Everything was like, it's so intense, and it's like, gee, I'm glad I'm not married to this person. That's what we like about Prabhupada. He was he didn't seem to have limitations, but he definitely demonstrated how to be human, right? And I think it's a really important part of being Krishna conscious, is to, you know, demonstrate your species. You know, that whole culture that's going on right now about some young people, they believe they're like a dog or a cat, and they come together and it's like, says, "Hare Krishna, Kali Yuga is coming on real fast and strong." You got the body of a human. Could you just act like a human? You know? So we're given limitations and work within those limitations, you know. By the ways of the world and by your own desires, we are, you know, some karma has been thrown at us, and you have to learn how to catch it. This is what I am. I'm going to make the best use of what I have. Stop trying to be something else. Stop trying to be bigger than life. Of course, some people, they get very famous and they get very wealthy, and it's really more than they need, isn't it? and yet they're they can't seem to handle the volume of attention, and so they can't, they don't need to have a normal life. Everywhere they go, you know, there's the paparazzi, there's cameras all over the place, and you know, you always have to disguise yourself, put on shades, you know, wear a Canadian toque, you know, and just kind of like, you know, because there's no privacy, there's no normal life. Those people suffer tremendously, you know, and maybe they're just getting a little more attention than they need to. Everybody knows John Lennon. He made some statements about we're bigger than Jesus. Remember that? One guy didn't like it at all. So this is all coming from ego, edging God out, E-G-O. And so somehow or other, we have to come to terms with what we really are. We discussed it the other day. 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. That's what I am. There might be a little bit of a glow there, and that's fine. But, you know, Maya is so strong, I can't even see that glow. I can't see that shining aspect of myself because Maya is very strong. So because of all these limitations, we must surrender to the unlimited. That's all. And that unlimited is Krishna. And if we say that God is just one, God can't be pluralistic, have many forms, I just think there's a flaw in that philosophy. Like most of the theologies that are born of from the Middle East, they all believe in that one God concept. The whole rest of the world was believing that God is can be received or perceived in multiple forms. Mm-hmm. And that's what we more or less prescribe to, right? We might say there's one original form, but of that form is born many other manifestations. We call them avatars or incarnations. So, you know, history tells that those folks who came from that one God, that one form concept, they more or less conquered the world at one point. Now I think people are just, you know, springing over to maybe the other side. Well, maybe God has, but there's no limits. You know, we have to think along those lines. Have you ever met people say, God has one son? Really? How many do you have? Well, I got a couple of boys. Got a couple of girls, too. You know, they're my kids. And so God can only have one? You have to shake your head, really. This we never did well with that term, oneness. You know, but when coupled with many, it's okay. There's many and there's one at the same time. It's very accommodating, right? Okay, we can look out there. We see a tree. It's a tree. The tree is one, but it has many branches and there's a lot of moss. Is it actually Spanish moss? I'm just asking out of ignorance. Is it Spanish moss? That's what they call it? Because somebody the other day threw me off. Said, it's not Spanish moss. Oh, okay. American moss. Oh, I thought it was Mexican moss, you know. But it depends on what president is in power, right? You know, water, the analogy of many drops of water in the ocean. And, you know, I'm sure one of your wonderful manatees can't just swim in one drop of water. There has to be many. So many, one and many. They have the same qualities, but quantity-wise, there's a difference. Such a beautiful philosophy. Thank you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you, Lord Krishna, also, and for helping us with this, establish this philosophy. Chapter 9, there's a little bit of it in there. To stretch our imaginations, let's say, to be in sync with our imagination. It comes true in the Vedic philosophy. It's just beautiful. So let me see where we're going here. So when you look at the unlimited, naturally you feel humility. You feel like, I'm going to do some service. I'm going to contribute something. I'm going to stop the resistance. I'm going to just,
Haribo, surrender. Draupadi, right? Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes in kirtans, when I see devotees are just not moving, I'll go to them and say, excuse me, but there's enough pillars in this room. And or said, what about, you know, okay, I see you're moving your feet. What about the arms? You know, can you do something like this? Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, like surrender. You know? I believe it's the Chaitanya Bhagavat, you know, so. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went like this, no demigods, I'm not interested, no, no, no. Draupadi said, I give up, I give in, I can't, I don't have power against this strong Dushasana, so I surrender to you, Krishna. So in kirtan, it's nice to move the whole body. In kirtan, it's nice to surrender not just the upper and lower lips as well as the tongue, but it's also good to surrender the rest of the body, right? If you don't do that, when are you going to have your workout? You know? There has to be some workout for us humans, you know? Otherwise, you are limiting yourself, you know? There's a lot more that we can do. We're just shy or, let's say, maybe complacent, lazy about stretching it a little bit more, isn't it? We're all lazy that way. We're all lazy, you know? Lazy and... what rhymes with it? Crazy. Lazy and crazy. So let's get out of that category. Let's go beyond those limitations and engage in devotional service, one that releases the heart, one that allows the heart to get big and bigger and bigger. And the way that we're going to really get closer to Krishna is just how we deal with each other and humans and all forms of life. You know, just if we're hoping to climb some steps here, then it means that we show kindness and show compassion to all forms of life. And then we're getting it, and we're getting it. So I think what we can do here is stop with my, and we can just, you know, ask for questions or like that. Okay, so I did see your arm up first, and go ahead. Mataji, do we have someone's a gopher? Go for this, go for that.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I love your classes. You just speak so, you really connect with the audience. Thank you.
Please get to the point.
You said EGO, edge God over, edging out. God out. Yeah.
Yep.
One time Akuti said GMO means God move over.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I like them both.
I do have a question. Mm-hmm. You brought up the distinction between constitutional and conditional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just dawned on me, you know, what did Prabhupada create that word, conditioned souls?
What does condition
mean from Prabhupada's perspective, you think?
Well, I guess I could say conditions. I'll submit to you, Krishna, but on the condition that you do this for me and that for me and this for me, under so many conditions, I'll submit to you. So that's one way to look at it. Perhaps there's some other interpretations in this room here. Would anybody else like to offer?
Like Pran Govind is...
Leave me alone, I'll figure it out. Okay.
Is there a Sanskrit word for conditioned soul?
That's a good question. Is there one word that could explain? Ittabada. Nitta. Oh, okay, sure, of course. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Was that okay? Yeah? Nitta. Okay. Okay, but Babu, he just wanted to respond.
When we say pure devotional service is unalloyed, and so the opposite. saying, based on this condition, that condition. Maybe the condition is you just ain't there. And that could be facilitated, too, with the conditional.
Well, while we're at it, Unalloyed, you know the origin of that, right? Well, no, it was at the Boston Harbor. Shortly after Prabhupada arrived there, he had to wait for a few hours. And he says, Unalloyed, there's this unalloyed steel plant, you know, unalloyed. So Prabhupada looked at that and analyzed it and refers to a steel that didn't have, was not mixed with other metals. It was pure metal. So from that, he started to use the word unalloyed. Yeah.
In the purport, there's a one line, I don't remember exactly, but it says that the eternal associate also in the spiritual world, they're so absorbed.
In material sense gratification.
That they forget about themselves and for you also. And you also. What does that mean? Means God also forgets?
Yeah, you, capital Y. Yeah.
Means God forget himself?
I'll give it to you. Those who are in the spiritual world are absorbed in your loving service, forgetting themselves and you also.
What is that mean?
And those, do you want me to read the rest?
Yeah.
Okay. And those in the material world are absorbed in material sense gratification and therefore also forget you. So let's go back. Those who are in the spiritual world are absorbed in your loving service, forgetting themselves and you also. It's good that you picked up on that. Forgetting themselves. I guess the phrase, I've kind of lost myself, means you are, bewildered, or you're just in a caught up, you know, you're not necessarily present, you're controlled by your emotions, you know. You know, the influence of yoga maya, you know, you're just not kind of there, you're, you know, just very, very much not identifying with yourself. If you're in like a kirtan, it's so ecstatic, you just forget that I'm in this body. Isn't it? It's a little bit like that. It's transcendental. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but it's nice that the way it's put here, it's very wonderful, beautiful. It definitely is provocative. Provocative. Could anything else? Yes.
Pran Govinda Prabhu's question. When you were reading that, Maharaj, I also thought about this, and then I thought it meant, or it could be taken as that forgot you, you know, they forget you in the sense that your godhood, opulence, not seeing him as God, but seeing him as their friend. So that's one
right.
thought I had.
Yeah, that's very appropriate, yeah. You are a bit lost, you know, lost in it all. And just like people, when they're full of lust, they're lost. When you're full of love, the real love, then you are also lost. The likes of Yashoda, and, you know, just forgetting that. Oh, I think it's just the end result or concomitant factor of when you're so absorbed, immersed in love that you don't see things the way other people see it. Like when people are in love, like you're in love with somebody, you don't see their deficiencies. You just say, I just love the power that's coming at me and the power I'm throwing out at that person. I mean, you are a little bit lost.
That's good.
So it's good if we can not be lost in lust, but lost in love. Yeah. And then, you know, Prabhupada makes the distinction between lust and love. We did have a couple more hands up. Yes. Yes.
So you're talking about the quality of being unlimited and how we are limited. And sometimes I feel like we still play too small. That so when you're talking about like in kirtan, you may say they move the lips, but not the rest of the body. So somehow, because the mind, you know, plays into all of that, and so sometimes I would feel like we feel not necessarily stuck or what would be the word? Stifled. So somehow through our thoughts, you know, we've stifled ourselves to mm-hmm. some degree. Mm-hmm. And of course it's lack of Krishna consciousness. I mean, I know the reason why we still play small or, and however, you know, we have a big mission mm-hmm. in front of us. And so how would you recommend, like, someone who is, you know, realizes that they're still playing small, even with the phenomena around them, and but how could they become less stifled, mm-hmm. you know? In the presence of other devotees, like sometimes we think, oh well, you know, those devotees, that's their personality, they have that ability. But myself, you know, I'm just flower on the wall or whatever that terminology is.
So the question is, how can I break out of that limit? It's a somewhat limited way. Inspiration comes from people who are not so stifled, if you use that term, right? People are a little more bold, so associate with the bold if you want to be bold. And if you were happy where you are, maybe it's not the most healthy situation, but anyways, do what you can. I think that as we get on in our years, we do have certain restrictions physically, for sure. But the power lies in, even when we're older, is in being able to just be a good person and serve nicely. You know, in this way, we're contributing tons to the people around us just by, you know, not being a nag, not being, you know, when people get older, they can be really vivacious. They can be really bubbly and, you know, optimistic, or they can be like grumpy, like anything, you know. And it's horrible to be with older folks. Everything's wrong, you know.
Well, I like the word you use, creativity, quite a bit when you were speaking. And that was the thing that came to me, is that even as we age, if mm-hmm. we can remain creative, mm-hmm. we can at least spur that on, you know, through conversation to
yes.
someone that might could bring it to fruition, even
yeah,
if it's
that's
not
right.
Us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can share your ideas, and Prabhupada was like that too, wasn't he? I mean, you know, he was limited what he could do physically, but he just kind of like poked at us, and he constantly fed us ideas. Well, you can do this, and you can do that, and, you know, maybe you can, you know, I mean, he really threw his ideas out there, and unfortunately, some devotees picked up on these things, and they grabbed the idea and took it to another level, put it into a world of action. Yeah. So I think it's good not to restrict yourself with your ideas. You know. And that's why we have the seven purposes of ISKCON. You know, Prabhupada painted a picture for us, you know. Here's what you could do. Here's what needs to be done. You know, so we can constantly review those policies, those dreams that Prabhupada gave to us, and try to be good servants of his and say, yeah, maybe I'll work on this. Maybe I can't do all seven, but I like that one, that point at one. I'll really work on that one. Most of those seven purposes has to do with education, teaching, almost every one of them. You know, from the beginning to the end, practically. And so I think we can look at that again, review that again, see which one can I embrace and do something about. Yeah. Yeah, those seven purposes are like his wishes. So let's see if we can take those wishes and do something more with them. We should never lose sight of those wishes. In fact, when I do offer a diksha to some people, I says there's some figures that you have to look at. 16 rounds, 4 regular principles, 7 purposes of ISKCON. Because you're a member of ISKCON. So what is ISKCON? Let's try to fulfill these, you know, these recommendations, and then maybe we can say I'm an ISKCON person now, really, you know, and I'm surrendered to the cause. Thank you. I think we should thank you for all the great questions. I don't know if I'm here after this, until next year, but I want to thank you all for being next year. Well, yeah. Yes. Stop it. Well, it's, why don't you come to where I am? Why do I always have to come to you?
We can meet in the middle.
Yeah, we can meet in the middle somewhere. Well, in New York, New Vrindavan, well, we can meet in the middle somewhere. All right. I just want to let you know, I didn't bring the cold. The cold was here before I came. Right? Well, was that? I think it's going to go before I go. I think it's going to go. Yeah, but cold is good. Cold is good. It helps you to appreciate the warmth. And it is has been extreme. And over here, you get the other extreme, heat. Like, I don't want to be here in June, July. Sorry. I'm not coming then. It's too much for me. Like, you just kind of melt. You have to crawl out the door, you know. You know. But anyways, it enriches your life when you have these extremes. It adds character to the individual when you have, you know, these things. Even... I'm not this body. I'm a spirit. I'm a spirit. I'm a spirit. Yeah. And when the weather changes, even the juices start flowing. You know, that's when all the juice comes, the sap comes out of the trees. Most of you have been to Mayapur in the month of, like, late Jan, February, the trees, date rust. Yeah, and we have the same thing in Canada with the maple trees. Yeah, it runs. The birch trees too. Quite a number of trees do that. They just, it runs, you know. And there's nothing better than the sap that comes from those trees. It's one of the best things you can consume. So let's look at the positive things. And I remind some of our devotees in Canada, they say, listen, it's good to have a good freeze for 3 or 4 days. And it kills all the larvae of the beetles that are eating up our trees. You know, we have, like, on the west side, we have pine beetle, and then we have the emerald beetle on the east end, and they are eating up the trees. They're chewing it up. So when you have a real cold spell, then it kills the larvae, and they don't have a chance to actually multiply. You know? So there's good. You have to see the good side of everything. Now, when it's really cold out also, it's like we have here in North America, we have 4 months of the wintry season, you know. In India, it's 4 months of the rainy season. When you're restricted from, it's a very good time of the year to plan, you know, and to contemplate and not be so passionate, but to really sort of buckle down with your spirituality. It's one of the best times. So cold is good. And cold is good. You know, where the mountains are, it's cold. And people are encouraged to go to the mountains, you know. where the air is more clean and so on like that. Well, why don't you follow the metric system? Then it won't be so severe. I don't know why, you know, in America, we're supposed to, anti-British sentiment has been strong. Why don't we do something against the British? And in Canada, we changed the metric system a long time ago and just followed the rest of the world. For me, it was like, I think it was like 1 degree Celsius. That doesn't sound too bad, does it? And when you're walking, after 1 hour, you can say 5 kilometers. But when it comes to mileages, 3 miles. Oh. Anyways, maybe our Mr. Trump will change. I doubt it. I doubt it. Hare Krishna. What can I say? All right. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Jai. Panchakalpaturubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyeva cha, Patitanang Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namah.